Canada once had a nationally funded housing program. Cities, co-ops, unions, and churches and nonprofits all partnered with federal and provincial governments to build social housing. Starting in the mid-80s and over the next decade, the federal government cut spending on housing by about $2 billion. In 1994, funding was eliminated altogether. Since then, homelessness has increased dramatically. Today, there are about 250,000 homeless people in Canada. In an effort to pressure the federal government to reestablish a national housing program, a group of activists have started a hunger strike relay leading up to the 2010 Winter Olympics. Am Johal is founding participant in this hunger strike relay. He's a board member with the Impact on Communities Coalition and an organizer with the Vancouver Flying University, and he joins me in the studio. Hi, Am.
Hi, good morning.
You've been involved in poverty issues in the downtown east side for a lot of years. What happened that made you decide to start the hunger strike now?
I think that the housing issue has been such a long-standing issue with all of the, whether it's poverty issues or addiction or mental health, it's always been pervasive in the background and a very, you know, important part of any of those things working in any way. And I was just on my Christmas break from work and just, you know, really getting a sense that the kinds of activism, the kinds of things that we've done in the past were very limiting in their effect. There was a progressive group elected at City Hall, but in the end really required leadership from the senior levels of government and just a sense that there's a lack of urgency and outrage being reflected. So I think the hunger strike was meant to kind of turn up the temperature on the issue and take a bit more of a radical step in terms of reflecting that outrage that exists on the ground from the people that it directly affects and also the people who are working in this neighborhood on these issues.
How does the hunger strike relay work? You yourself were on strike, I know, for a 7-day period, and I'm signed up to your Facebook page. So
yeah, we're trying to get people to sign up for a 7-day period. We don't want people to go longer than that. We want to make a point, but also not put people's health at risk either. One of our participants is in her late 80s, Sister Elizabeth Kelleher, who's worked for a long time in the downtown east side, and we do have a sort of doctor on call that we get back, but it's a liquid diet and wouldn't put your health at risk. And every 7 days, a new person will carry on. And we're trying to go past the 2010 Olympics. In fact, go right until June 2010, which would time with the 75th anniversary of the onto Ottawa trek, because we intend to go to Ottawa on the train as well, the group of people who have been involved.
Now, you mentioned you wanted to kind of raise the temperature on the issue. Do you have also specific objectives in mind for the relay, what you're hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, the focus that we've placed on is the federal government, and we have put our support behind what's called the 1% solution. Professor David Hilchansky, who's a longtime housing-related academic at the University of Toronto, put that forward, and that number is roughly about $2.5 billion in a new national housing program. It's very different than the recent federal budget, which was in the $2 billion range, but only half of that were for renovations of existing places. And the other funding pockets, in as much as it is important to fund seniors and Aboriginal housing, it really doesn't reflect the kind of need in Vancouver, where you have long-term, low-income urban singles. And there isn't money being placed there, which is highly unfortunate. So we want a program that's fully robust and reflects needs of provinces and cities without strings attached from the federal government.
And in terms of the visibility around homelessness, is that part of what you're hoping to do? Because it is a viral and social campaign that you're involved in, as well as many other fronts.
Yeah, and I think we want people to understand the gravity of the situation, the seriousness of it. And there are not that many people in Canada that know that the most conservative estimate of homeless in Canada is 150,000, but experts would say the number is actually between 200,000 $200,000 to $300,000. There's about 1.5 million Canadians who are considered at risk, so one paycheck, two paychecks away from being in a precarious housing situation. Here in BC, we've had 56 homeless-related deaths in the last 2 years, and everyone knows that that's an undercount because people have homeless-related illnesses and they die in the hospital or in other places. And over the break, when I was at First United and Church, where there's over 200 people sleeping in these conditions, also when people get communicable diseases on the street as well, when they're in a shelter such as that, they're also more likely to get sick in terms of their immune system. And about a year ago, there was a really bad strain of pneumonia that killed a number of people because their immune systems were weakened. So I think it's really important to try to reframe this issue as a health and human rights issue. You know, 10 years ago, when people were talking about opening up a safe injection site, the Vancouver Sun, the headlines used to say, "Junkies want a shooting gallery." You couldn't even begin the conversation. It took a very long time to reorient that into a health and human rights issue. And in the same way, you know, we've had Daryl McCaskill died in the street in January. In December, there was another death right on Davie and Hornby. And so, and there's many, many that go unreported. And in BC itself, we're talking about minimum 10,500 people who are homeless, and other studies show it's up to 15,000. So it's an incredibly serious issue with health and human rights implications.
What relationships are you trying to draw between the Olympics and homelessness?
The main issue is that we decide public spending priorities as government, as citizens, and we are willfully putting forward funding into these Olympic Games, well over $6 billion. Just the security costs alone are going to be near $1 billion for the Olympics. But at the same time, when you begin to speak about funding for housing and these kinds of things, it's chronically underfunded. And we really want to draw out that division. And governments always try to take progressive movements and try to place, you know, who's against the Olympics, who's slightly against the Olympics. You know, that's not an area we need to get into. The fact is the Olympics are happening, and whether people oppose them or are slightly critical of them, the point we're making, there's lots of public money going into this. And we need to make sure that everybody understands that equation, that we can fund these issues. This isn't rocket science, as everyone says. If you build housing, we can begin to lower the amount of homelessness. When we had the best national housing program probably in the world from the early 70s to the early 90s, we have a great legacy of co-ops and social housing all around the city on the west side and Kitts Point in False Creek. And we've allowed real estate and development and market forces to undermine this notion of a right to the city. And also with the Olympics, there's further laws and ticketing practices that are happening that are limiting people's right to the city. You know, you walk by Pigeon Park right now and nobody's there because the police have started to ticket in a particular way. And I think these are the kinds of things that we continue to want to highlight, just discriminatory ticketing practices and all of these things that violate human. Even the city's engineering department goes down through the streets in the downtown east side and Commercial Drive, and every second day they take homeless people's belongings if they're not near their belongings. So when people are out in a food lineup or something during the day, all of their belongings, shopping cart, are taken away. 9 in the morning, they're waking people up in doorways and telling them to move along because it's illegal to sleep on a city sidewalk, which is considered city property. And I think these are the kinds of things where we're essentially allowing a criminalization of poverty to happen underground, not even by policing, not even private security, but the city's own engineering department. And we have a progressive council in place. So I think we need to ask some very hard questions of how we intend to go forward as we get closer to the Olympics. We also have really weak tenancy legislation in place where people will be able to rent out their places for a few hundred dollars a night. And we're going to see probably well over 1,000 evictions. And this is not a new issue. We've been raising this since 2001, and none of these policy changes have been put into place. Additionally, all of the people who were involved in trying to raise inner city issues during the bid process, none of these people are around a table. There's no engagement happening. We are not able to meet senior bureaucrats or even elected people. So whether it's the city, the province, the federal government, or VanOck, none of us who raise these issues are at the table.
Mm. And one of the main goals of your relay, as you mentioned, is to reinstitute the National Housing Program. Tell us about what that program might look like. What's required to solve housing in Canada?
Well, roughly, if we were to follow the 1% solution, the funding would be in the $2.5 billion from the federal government, and then it would require matching money from the provinces and territories. And with that building of housing, you'd have the existing programs that are in place. So the full range of things from co-ops to social housing to first-time homebuyers, it alleviates a number of issues because right now as rents have gone up, people have moved into the inner city or what were considered lower-income accommodations. We've had a high amount of construction workers that have come here for temporary accommodation, moved into SROs, for example. And so I think if we can alleviate all of these areas and build new stock, we can actually begin to deal with some of the root causes of the affordability issue. But it needs to be an annualized program as well. Like what was recently announced by the Harper government is a one-time $2 billion investment with strings attached. And so it's not, it's a reorganization of existing priorities and plans. You know, much of the Aboriginal housing has to do with the old Kelowna Accord. So they're rewrapping and re-presenting information in a way that's not accurate.
You've mentioned some of the critiques of the recent federal announcements that are around housing. What about the provincial government, which has recently talked about some initiatives here?
Yeah, they previously purchased 17 hotels, and yesterday they made an announcement of an additional 15. And I think the provincial government moving in this direction has a lot to do with the criticism they've had from social activists on the ground raising these issues. And in as much as I think it's a positive step that the province is buying these privately run hotels and taking them out of the market and placing them up to standard, it doesn't create new housing supply because people are already living in them. In fact, in some situations where the province is renovating these to bring them up to code, they're actually also evicting people. And so I think it's positive that these hotels are finally getting into public hands because they've been in a longstanding way not run up to code and met basic standards, infested with bed bugs, you know, many, many things. But the province has done it in the absence of creating new housing supply. So even though they've fast-tracked 12 sites in the city of Vancouver and the expectation is that they're going to fund them, up to now there has been no commitment on these 12 sites. And this is in the context of billions of dollars going into the Olympic Games and expectation very early on that these were going to be a socially inclusive games, which, you know, clearly has not happened.
Vancouver's new mayor, Gregor Robertson, has promised to end homelessness. What are your thoughts on his pledge?
I think that the new mayor is very sincere in his commitment to ending homelessness. And he certainly, in the short time that he's been in office, they've done a great job in opening up emergency shelters. But the challenge for the new mayor and council is really going to be getting the senior levels of government to come to the table and to invest. And that is going to have to be done in a long-term way. I think the difficulty also of ending homelessness itself is almost too complex and maybe perhaps too difficult. But what can happen is that for the people who are on the street right now, roughly 2,700, you know, up to 3,000 people, we have a lack of documentation of the numbers of people. We don't actually do a count around the province. So if we can find out who these people are and the actual number and to track them, that you could actually move all of those people inside over that time period. But I think that there's going to continue to be more people that become homeless, and I think that's where the difficulty is. But we need more of the after emergency, the transition shelter, and I think there's been some movement on that, but it's really going to require a concerted effort with the senior levels of government over a long period of time. It's really annualizing the programs, because if we're waiting every year at budget time, it's just you can't plan ahead and plan out the services in a comprehensive way.
Now, I want to come back to your relay, which you're working on to really kind of push these issues into the forefront. How can people get involved in that?
Yeah, they can contact me by email, m_johal@yahoo.ca. We also have a Facebook page, 2010 Homelessness Hunger Strike Relay. And we're running this on a voluntary basis, so we will have a website up at some point as well. And we'll continue to be doing media each week with the people that come forward. And we're looking for more and more volunteers for people who would like to take part and help us promote these issues. We're booked up until the end of April right now, and we're continuing to slot people in. And usually it would start on a Sunday at noon and go until the following Sunday.
So when people want to get involved with that, say they've kind of made the connection with you, do they come to a meeting, or how would they actually get involved to do a 7-day relay?
Yeah, I usually meet with them for coffee, or we have a meeting every couple of weeks. We've been doing it on a very informal basis. It's been done on a purely voluntary basis. So it's, generally people contact me, we have a phone conversation, we meet up, and that's basically how we've been doing it so far.
Great. Well, thank you very much for coming in, Anna. It's a great action. Good luck with it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Bye. I've been speaking with Am Johal. To find out more about the hunger strike, you can email Am at am_johal@yahoo.ca or join the 2010 Homelessness Hunger Strike Relay Facebook page.